This is URN Sport.
University Radio Nottingham, that's a good station as well. URN, let them do a go well to finish, please.
Can you stop editing the go well, please, at the end of their show?
Cheers.
Go well. Keep it URN.
Keep it URN.
URN.
This is URN.
Hello and welcome to the only cricket podcast that takes a sabbatical during the IPL. Sticky Wickets is back for its first podcast in about 3 months as me and Toby have finished our degrees. We've done the dissertations, we've done the exams, it's all over. It's me and Toby in the studio today for Sticky Wickets Live and Unleashed, except it is sort of leashed. Toby's in the studio. Toby, how are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. I'm happy that we're both done.
Yeah.
We're back after a couple months off, I think.
Righteous months off. I think we had to prioritise this. Exactly. Your dissertation was quite interesting.
So was yours. Both sporting.
Yes, it says a lot about us and what we want to do with our lives. Yours was about the rugby salary caps of domestic English rugby.
Correct, yeah. And on how it affected competitive balance.
And what were your conclusions?
It does affect competitive balance, yes, yeah.
Saracens must have come up quite a bit.
A little bit. I stopped it before COVID because I thought that might be like an anomaly. Saracens were only, it was only a couple of years before COVID that it really affected it.
Yeah.
But interestingly, it didn't seem to affect my data.
Interesting. Yeah. Did you use like any really weird non-academical sources? Because I used cricket, because I did cricket's place in the Second World War. So I was using a lot of like wartime wisdoms and war and cricket info, which had all the matches. So that was really weird, going through the victory tests and just the amount of weird things I had to pick out from Crick Info, ESPN and like Wisden was really weird. Was there like a rugby equivalent?
I use one website called rugbyarchive.com.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, it was mainly... I used a weird amount of like baseball sources.
I used a bit of baseball as well. That's weird.
I think because it's such a popular sport in America, yeah. and it's quite an easy sport like cricket to have sort of statistics about.
Yeah, it's very statistically driven because the BBC now have rights to the baseball coming over here for the base MLB UK games, which tail ender Felix White will be hosting a little bit of. Have you ever tried to watch baseball?
I've been to two baseball matches, like not as interesting as Test match cricket.
It's not, is it?
Not as interesting as any cricket, really, because you get it's the sort of. I think it's a bit of a spectacle, like kind of the way they like it, but it's sort of built up as in like it should be like a T20, like smashing things out of the park, except they score 9
yes.
at most.
Yes, and we always like T20 cricket, the 100, whatever you want to call it, the T10, which, have you listened to the tail enders interview with the guy who owns the
Rochdale Royals? Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And we need to go a little bit like baseball, the smash and grab of it. But if you actually watch baseball, it's very minimal, like the amount of sixes we'll see tonight because we're going to the Yorkshire versus Nottinghamshire game. It's a very exciting day. It's a bit of a URN social delayed ticket, discounted ticket. So anyone who may be thinking they can't afford it, it's only £7 for under 21. So do look at going. We're going to see more sixes from Alex Hales than we would see in a Oakland Athletics versus the Chicago Cubs game. I've got a game for us at the end of the show now. Name as many baseball teams as you can. And then we'll do a challenge system because we like it.
You named my two, unfortunately.
Yeah,
we can work it out.
Right, yeah. We'll figure it out. But very excited to be done. And you've got any nice plans for the summer?
Watch a lot of cricket, I think.
Lots of cricket. It's such a good summer of cricket. We've got the Ireland Test match, which we're previewing on today's podcast or live show. Lots of T20 blasts. The Hunt's coming up, so Toby's going to be rolling in it by September.
It's going to be mental. I mean, you've got the Ireland Test match, the Ashes, the Blast, County Championship, all just before real cricket starts in August. Yeah.
It's a nice warm-up, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Also, the Women's Ashes is going on concurrently with the Men's Ashes, which I think is fantastic. Test match at Trent Bridge.
I'm hoping to go, I think.
I can't go because I'm in Italy, and it means I'm missing graduation as well. And I'm gutted for both because I really wanted to see the only women's test match of the summer. And at Trent Bridge, it's so nice that they're playing it at the first big ground for a test match for women's cricket. You're thinking about going.
Yes.
It would be amazing atmosphere.
Yeah, I know. It should be brilliant. I mean, it looks like the tickets are fairly cheap as well. I think £15 as well.
That's
isn't
so
too bad.
Good.
I think you've got to try and get as many people down, pack it out for 4 or 5 days. They'd probably do the free tickets again on day 5, as they did all of last summer for the men's tests. And I think, it'd be great to get as many people in as possible. And I think a lot of students who are still around would probably be up for going if they know about it. And hopefully they continue to publicise it as much as possible.
Yeah, I think on my way down to the City Ground a few days ago, they had all the Women's Ashes regalia up. And it was really nice to just have it up and it made you feel, oh, this is coming to Nottingham. It was really cool. And that's one thing about the 100 that they've got right, is they've brought women's cricket to major cities. We talked about this in the past. England's women have been a fantastic team, they're playing out in Essex. They're playing in Chelmsford. The draw is quite minimal. They're playing in Northants. Again, quite minimal. When they go to London, play at Lords against India, it's a packed house because people do want to watch this. And the 100 has brought women's domestic cricket to Cardiff, Nottingham, Birmingham, Manchester. It's just big cities. You will get women's sport. And I think it's nice to see the women's Ashes progressing to this point, and hopefully it's a big sellout, and maybe we'll see that on Sticky Wickets _URN.
Away days, maybe.
Away days. We'll that'd be nice. Right, overall summer, it's massive. It is massive, but we have to start with the first game. We're going to do predictions for the Ashes, early predictions later, but the Ireland Test match is a one-game series against Ireland, who haven't played that many games since 2019, where bowled them out for 36 in the final innings, but that is to do us disservice. Tim Murta bowled us out for 98 in the first innings. However, England was severely hungover from that World Cup victory. Do we think anything similar is going to happen? Anything as dramatic?
Probably not as dramatic. No. But I can see a few skitterlings happening. I think, as we were sort of talking about off air, it could very easily be that it could almost go down to the second and sort of the third and fourth innings. If it's a bit overcast, Duke swings around a little bit, you got Brodie probably opening the bowling, might be able to take a few wickets, whoever might be opening the bowling, Mark Adair probably for the Irish, great seam bowler. And it could easily be a few cheap wickets early doors. I don't think it will be as eccentric, I guess, with the sort of 90, bowled out for 90, then bowled out for 36, Jack Leach scoring 90.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'll be probably a bit more tame. I think England will win comfortably.
You say tame. Now, I think when you mean that, you don't mean it's the power swinging either side, because Ireland were firmly in the ascendancy.
Exactly, yeah.
And then it was England, then it was sort of Ireland again, and then it came to England. I think we'll see a lot of runs. I do think England will pile on the runs. If they bat first on that first day, if Bazball can sort of fully go through it, we could see something very exciting. But, to give Ireland credit, if they hit their lines and England is swinging first test of the summer, moving about, using the Lord's slope, if they can use that right, there could be some early wickets. It'd be then, like you said, the second innings where Ireland could get themselves found out a little bit. Because we've seen, you think about Ireland in the first innings of 2019, England in 2005. It's very easy to start the summer really well. It's the second innings where you don't have that adrenaline and they're on the defence a little bit more. That's when a team can get found out a little bit. Ireland haven't played that many games. Three games since 2019, losing 1-0 in Sri Lanka, I believe, and another game against New Zealand, I want to say, in Ireland.
I think it was Bangladesh.
Yeah. Lost, haven't won a series.
No.
This isn't going to be the summer for them, unfortunately. But let's preview them a little bit. Should be an interesting side. No Tim Murta, unfortunately. But they've got some good players and someone you're very excited about, Toby.
Yeah, Harry Tector, I think, is a great player. He's probably more of an ODI specialist, averages 50 with the bat and ODIs. But from the three test matches he's played so far, averages 46, I think it is, from his few innings. Couple 50s. Looks like a really, really good player. Played in the under-19 stuff a few years ago and has basically just been on the up since. Came in, I think he played in the 2019...
Yeah,
against England, I want to say. Maybe 20. Did he play in 2020?
I think he played COVID in 2020. The COVID
that was it,
series.
Yes, yeah,
I remember. What country did he play?
I think he just plays in Ireland.
Okay.
But I think he could be a really good player. He's probably going to be their danger man, I'd say.
Well, they've got Paul Sterling, who's so mobile.
Bass down the order as well. To be fair, Paul Sterling. So he's a very different. Well, actually, not very different. Similar player. Basketball player, I'd say, for Ireland.
And obviously, Josh Little, the first Irishman to play in the IPL.
Yes.
That's exciting. Yeah. Ben White, who I really like as an Irish player. Their side's not horrendous.
I think they've got a more all-round side than when we played them in 2019. Yeah. And maybe not as many sort of... Yeah, with Josh Little and stuff, they probably have big-name stars in there as well. Mark Adair, as I mentioned earlier, him and Josh Little probably to open the bowling.
It's dangerous, not bad.
Dangerous
not bad.
Bowling, yeah, attack that.
And especially with our openers, they could get some early wickets.
Oh, definitely.
And
if they get on a roll, it could be hard to stop. Yeah.
However, we are being very positive here.
You have to find the positives where possible.
They'll get Crawley out early.
Likely, yes.
But it it's going to be a long few days for the Irish cricket fans. However, there's no better place to have a long few days than Lords, is there?
Very true.
And especially when they've been starved of any cricket for such a long time. This is so nice to finally have Test cricket back, isn't it?
Exactly. I think it'll be good for them to be back. I mean, we obviously both went to the one in 2019, which you've mentioned before. And
before we met, we just
happened to both be there. And it was a brilliant day out at the cricket. And I think it should be the same again. You're going...
Day one. I remember the day we went, Jack Leach Day. England's a very cold nation. The rest of the places that play cricket, very warm nations. For one time in our history, we had a heat advantage. It was 30-odd degrees, and the Irish lads were really struggling in the heat. We were just next to the Irish dressing room. We could just hear them going, "You got more sun cream, lads. You got more sun cream. Get Balburnie needs some water." The Irish boys don't like the heat, so I don't think it's going to be as warm. I think they might have it levelled out a little bit, so maybe, you never know, they might win it now. Let's go over to England. England's Test side, on an absolute high in the winter, been a long sort of delay since they've played since. New Zealand was the last series? No, Pakistan. This is how long it's been for us.
It was New Zealand.
Wow.
1-1 draw there.
Great second Test, I seem to remember.
Yeah, we're down to final overs. We needed 2 to win, I want to say.
Yeah, and just didn't get over the line. That feels like ages ago. But still, they're a fantastic team. Coming off the back of Pakistan as well. Our away form's getting better. Our home form, on the other hand, has been very good. And we were trying to discuss on the way in the last time we'd lost a home series, and it was probably 2014 was the last confirmed one against Sri Lanka.
When we lost to the Kiwis.
Oh, the Kiwis in 2019, the COVID one.
No, 2021.
Yeah. But as Stuart Broad says, any loss in COVID doesn't count.
Exactly.
So it,
before that was Sri Lanka.
Yeah. And then South Africa, and then 2008 against South Africa again. So England do have a good form at home. Probably for the Ashes, we'll talk about this in a bit more detail. But England should win this, shouldn't they?
You'd hope so. If they lose, I think Baswell's done. Get them out. Go back to Bayless Ball. Bring Root back as captaincy.
Yeah.
Maybe get Rory Burns opening the batting again. Dom Sibley, get him back.
Get Ollie Robinson back on Twitter. You know, just get all the toxic stuff back into cricket.
I think it's the way to go, really. Mm. And then we might have a chance of winning the Ashes.
Yeah, and obviously Trevor Bayliss won so many Ashes for us. Got one in 2015.
I don't think he was... Was he?
He just came in. He just came in.
Was that his first series?
That was his first series.
Oh, yeah, it was, because I remember Cookie was talking about it on TMS.
Yeah.
Yeah, and basically he said the only thing that Trevor Bayliss actually could do, because he obviously didn't know any of the players or anything like that, the only thing he could do was basically, because he knew all the Aussie players, said, "Oh, I know this person, he's going to be breaking at the moment."
Which is slightly useful.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But I think that gave more weight to Cookie's achievement as a captain.
Exactly,
Which was quite nice, because Cookie doesn't get a lot of love as a captain, but he was... He oversaw a very difficult time, whereas Stokes is pretty much in the golden era of English cricket. However, will we see a golden team against Ireland? I don't think we'll see a full team. Could we have a opening batting lineup for Toby, please?
Well, personally, my opening batting lineup wouldn't really have been possible, because I wanted to see Folks keep the gloves and Stokes open the batting. However, it doesn't seem like that is possible. So I think Crawley and Duckett will be opening, at least for the first... Well, definitely the Ireland test. Probably for the first 2 or 3 Ashes tests as well.
Mm.
And depending.
I think you have to... Obviously, in previous Ashes gone by, there's been a bit of a difference. In 2015, we kept Adam Lyth through thin and thinner, really. And 2013, Root batted quite well with Cookie.
Yes, yeah.
And then 2019, Jay Roy opened the batting.
And then he batted 4, and then he was dropped, alongside Burns. Which I think Burns, if it all goes wrong, I think Burns is a very good candidate to bring. He's not Baswell at all, but he is proven effectively in home Ashes.
Well, if we're going for 40, proven in home Ashes,
Alex Cook,
who never got 100 in a home Ashes series, which is mad considering the amount of runs he scored.
He's got a lot in Ashes cricket.
Yeah, a lot, all down under. It's a very interesting time for Zach Crawley. A lot's been said about him in the press, and he's said a lot in the press. What do you make of him saying he's got a perfect technique?
Doesn't need to improve it. I think it's a weird one, because I think it very easily he's just deflecting. It's if he genuinely believes that his technique doesn't need to improve, and he's backing it to the hill, and he's not training it and not trying to improve then I think it's ridiculous, and that's a bad and a silly mentality to have going into a huge summer Obviously, winning the Ashes here would be massive. I'm sure they'll be hoping to. And if he's going in thinking my technique is good enough to survive Stark, Cummins, Hazelwood, Boland, all of these guys around the Aussie camp, and even that, like Michael Nisa, Sean Abbott as well, some of the sort of guys more on the outskirts, if he genuinely believes his technique is good enough, he is kidding himself. And he's had 30 tests and he scored... Has 200? Been three, yeah, 200. One of them was a double, but he's had a couple good innings, basically, over 60 possible innings. And he's not proven himself at all, yet he seems to portray that he believes he does.
Yeah. Like you said, he could just be deflecting, and you'd hope the BBC, the ECB media team are going, just deflect, lad, just deflect. But it's not looking good for him. Now, you said third test match could be the cut-off point before things have to change. Who would you like to see open the batting?
I think if it's not him, I think Rory Burns is a great shout.
Yeah,
I think you'd also have to look at a bit more of the county championship. There's a couple more rounds, I think, coming up.
No one within the team?
I think if you slide Ben Stokes up, but yeah, again, it kind of depends on him. I think it's hard because if you do that, you'd likely then want to give Bairstow, shift Bairstow away from keeping and bring folks back in. However, I think Bairstow works best by far when he's... As has been proven, when he's given a designated role and he's told, this is what you're doing, you're going to stick with this, and this is your time to prove it, basically. Because otherwise, he's had 2 years, two calendar years, where he's averaged over 35 with the bat. Both he's averaged, 60, and has dominated. And those are the 2 years where I think he's been most defined in his role, because he's basically come back into the side. 2016, where he dominated in South Africa, had the gloves, was told he's batting six, I want to say, maybe seven, and just said, this is what you can do, come in, cement yourself in this test side, and all you have to do is go and score those runs. Easy. Same thing as well, last summer, Coley's going to come in, bat at number five, just go in there, score loads of runs, hit the ball out of the park all day, and you're going to play for England for the next few years. And now moving him back to taking the gloves, I think will be interesting, first of all, to see.
Yeah.
And I think you then can't really take the gloves away from him again, and I think it puts England in an awkward situation where Folks is out the side, who is definitely the best gloveman, and I think has actually been a really good
batsman
as well.
And servant, like, he's been consistent throughout the past 3-4 years of going on tours and doing the hard lines. And obviously, we want the best team, but I think what he brings to the camp as well, he deserves his own sort of merit.
Exactly. So I think it'd be tough, and I'd like, if Stokes could open the batting, I think that would be a good fit for him, particularly if he's not bowling that much, because obviously his knee's been a bit dodgy recently, not bowled really in the IPL, not played much in the IPL. So I would have liked to see him open the batting instead of Crawley, personally. However, that's obviously wasn't going to happen. So I think it's more likely that someone like Rory Burns, maybe Dom Sibley, but neither of them are really basketball players, so I don't know who they'd look to open the batting with.
Could be interesting with Stokes. If Bazball goes, it's full hog, which there's a lot in the media about Brendan McCullum saying, if anyone's to blame, it's us if we lose, which I think is a great mentality. Just not blaming anyone else, just fully going for it. And I think if they were to really double down, backs against the wall, say one game down already, putting in Stokes to open the batting. We've seen Stokes is a fantastic batsman. Scored the slowest 50 for England as well as the fastest 100 at Lord's. He is just a magnificent, versatile player. So it's not... It seems on the surface a bit ludicrous, because you think of Ben Stokes being this expansive, almost electric player, but he can play a role in any position.
I think arguably that's his better role, is building into it. You think about Headingley as probably...
Oh, that's a great shot. That's a fantastic shot,
He was, 3-off-60? 2-off-60 overnight? And just grinded out, and batted very sensibly alongside Root, alongside Bairstow, alongside the rest of the sort of frontline batsmen. Then he waited until it got to... sort of Wokesy maybe, but mainly Archer, Broadie, and Leach at the end, where he thought, well, I've got 100, 150 runs to score here. My sort of partners aren't going to get many. I'm going to have to go and do this myself. And went and just blasted it all around.
He enabled so many possible innings to happen.
Exactly.
And which I think an opener needs to do, because it's very rare it's you two openers for more than five overs, especially with England. And it's... You need to enable people to be themselves, and especially with the more charismatic batsmen down the line, you want them to be able to feel it. But also, he's so good at letting the tail wag, which I don't think we should forget, because tail wagging has often won Ashes series. Think back to 2013-14, England would get themselves in a great area, and then Brad Haddin would lead an amazing sort of charge. Yeah. And those extra 100, 150 runs would be that just too much for England to get anywhere near winning and collapse ensues.
Yeah.
Let's focus back on Ireland. Could we have your three fast bowlers? Leach is essentially confirmed.
Yeah, I think, and I can't see Leach not playing for England unless he's injured for a good number. Well, Stokes is still captain, really.
Yeah.
I think maybe they eventually might move away from him. But I think Stokes invested so much in him, Leach will be the off, will be the spin bowler for till whenever, basically.
Yeah.
Seam bowling wise, I think so Jimmy and Robbo have been basically confirmed they're not going to play.
Or Jimmy's got a strained groin, is it?
I think so. And Robinson has ankle niggle, so I think he might be rested as well, which I don't think is a bad thing. Means you kind of can then see the other seamers maybe vying for that third spot.
Because Wood is also out with paternity, as you said, off air, which is something you just don't think about. Well, obviously, these are human beings. And
I don't think he's necessarily needed to play in the Ireland Test as well.
I think we know what Mark Wood can do. He's been fantastic for England in Ashes series since 2015. He can come in, rip up a few wickets and just injured. We won't see from him for another few months. Woody's a fantastic player. Yeah. And I think he's done his job. Like we were saying off air, walking in, he could easily play three test matches this summer.
I think that's the hope, isn't it? That you sort of almost play and rest and play and rest and play and rest him or along those kind of lines. Mm. I think it's highly unlikely he'd play all five Ashes matches. Still quite unlikely he'll play four. Three is probably what you hope to get out of him, maybe two. And then if he gets injured, he might play one or not even play at all, which would be a big shame.
But for Ireland, who will be putting on the three lines, Toby?
I think Brodie is guaranteed. Mm-hmm. As long as he's fit, which I think he is, I'm sure he'd love to play it, try and get a few more wickets at Lords. Chris Wokes looks likely as well, I think. Back in the England squad after a long period of not really playing.
When was his last test match?
Was it the COVID summer? He must have played in Australia. For the Ashes.
The COVID Ashes, which we will talk about. Oh, the West Indies. I think he played there, didn't he? Oh, my goodness.
But he's had a tough time. He was man of the series, I want to say, though, against Pakistan or West Indies.
Against Pakistan in 2020, he had an amazing series, didn't he?
So I think he was classed there, and I think he even got man of the series. So I'd like to see him back in, playing in England, against Ireland, obviously. It's a test match still, but it's not the biggest test. He's back into it.
Yeah.
And then I think Matty Potts is probably going to be the third seamer in it.
Matty Potts, who I really liked seeing him. Was it last summer or 2021? No, it must have been 2022.
Last summer, yeah, it was.
Yeah. Ollie Robinson came in and took his spot. Potts is a fantastic player. Would love to see him take a few wickets and push himself. But this is essentially who's going to be playing backup for Jimmy, Brodie, Robinson in the Ashes, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah, you think so. And where they can all kind of fit. I'm really excited to see Matty Potts. He obviously didn't get any chance over the winter, which I thought was a big shame. I thought it could have been very useful to have in Pakistan.
Third test.
Even just as a sort of spare option, as he's so fit, so much energy, that he is just able to just, like a Duracell bunny, wind him up and he'll keep going forever and ever. And I thought that was going to be key to have a bowler like that in Pakistan, but they obviously decided around it, went for sort of spinners over the seamers mainly. So I think it'll be interesting to see how he can sort of fit in against what is a good Irish batting lineup. And if he can outperform Chris Wokes and maybe even Stuart Broad, then I think he really puts his name in the hat for the Ashes coming up. And I think it'll be in good stead for really pushing to be that sort of senior backup seamer, effectively.
We've talked a little bit about Jimmy Anderson. Anderson's not going to take a test wicket against Ireland, if we're really honest. Is this his last summer? We're just going to sort of segue into big overall summer predictions now. Is this Jimmy Anderson's last summer for England, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I have genuinely no idea, though. I can kind of see him, particularly if England win, calling it there. But also, knowing what he's talked about on Tailenders and what he seems to be like as a character, it seems as if he wants to just keep going.
It's
only another 2.5 years till they go back to Australia.
Oh, I love it. Is it Wow. It is so mad how quickly the Ashes comes about every year, every other year. It's, for me, I think it is just his time. His body is starting to catch up with him. But I think he's only 24 wickets short of 700.
Yeah, I think he, if he has a really good Ashes, he could, in theory,
overtake Murray. You sort of want him to play against Ireland just to accrue some wickets, because you can imagine Sterling, Balbirnie, all just like hovering about outside and just taking wickets at the second slip.
This is URN.
The expression changes immediately. Number 600 for Jimmy Anderson.
Okay, so that's the first prediction. The second prediction is a bit trickier. Ashes test score.
I'm going to go 2-2. I think there must be some sort of rain or one of the teams clinging on. But otherwise, I reckon England would pip it 3-2.
Out of the last 15 Ashes Test series, Test matches in England, only 3 have ended in draws.
Yeah, that's the, and so, but they probably all have been rain affected. I'd have thought.
2019, yes.
At Lords.
Yeah, because otherwise England would have won that.
That was heartbreaking. That
was peak Joffre Archer. Yeah. That was really peak. And then we win that, but long term, do we have Stokes as captain? I don't know. It's a weird butterfly effect that. I think 2-2 sort of was fine. 2015, no draws, and 2013, 2 draws. 1 at Manchester, where we get away with it, essentially. And the oval where Australia, fair play to Michael Clarke, put it up. There's 2 more draws in 2009, 2 draws in, yeah. So there's usually a draw. On average, there's a draw.
I'd be surprised if they're, I think just because England's weather's so fickle, and over a period of a month, there's surely going to be some rain somewhere. With Basball, though, as we've said, there's always the chance that it's going to rain all of these 4 and 5 and the match will be over by lunch on day 3, just because England have put themselves so far ahead, or they've been skittled for so little. So I think 2-1 is an alright prediction.
So but one game is going to be rain affected.
I think so. But I reckon that if not, or if I had to pick a team, I think England are maybe not favourites, but I think England should be confident going into it. And I assume are confident. What about you?
What's I'm going to say 3-2 to England. I can see. Or do I just go? I might go stupid. 3-1 England.
I like the 3-1 England call.
Because I think Manchester, there will be a rain. It always rains in Manchester. Always does. And I can see Australia finding out in Basball. But then I can see England winning at Lords. I know Lords doesn't hold the best of reputations for Ashes cricket. England haven't won there since 2013.
Yeah, I'd say Lords is where England are losing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The Aussies will win at Lords.
Yeah, the Aussies will win there. Then we'll probably win. Where's the first test? Edgbaston.
I think
Edgbaston will be right up for that Ashes game, like it was when we went in 2019, again before we knew each other, same date again. It's interesting how that happens. I think Edgbaston's a great place to win. I know Australia won there last time, but I just think that'll get us up. 1-1 at Lords. Next test match is Old Trafford.
Or Headingley. It's one of the two. Yeah.
It's the same. No, it's not the same as 2009. I'm going to say rain affected game there. And then England win the next two.
Ooh, I like that. I can kind of also see it being level going into like the oval.
Which is something test cricket really needs. Look at the last few Ashes, they've been finished very, very far in advance. Not since 2009 we've had a balanced Ashes where it goes into the last test match, and then before that 2005, but then nothing for years. So I think test cricket could really do with that kick up. So I'm saying 3-1 in this very, very early prediction without a ball being bowled in test cricket yet. Going for that. Can we have a player of the summer, please, Toby?
I am going to go with, I think, Joe Root.
I was going to say Rooty as well, because I think with the shackles off, he'll be able to bat freely.
That's the hope. Or maybe Ollie Robinson, actually, for me.
Okay, so we're going to ban Root and Stokes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Jimmy Anderson as a ceremonial goodbye as he announces his retirement at Old Trafford in front of the Jimmy Anderson end. Have you heard his complaints about the Jimmy Anderson end?
No.
He doesn't like how the announcers announce it. They always say with a sort of James Anderson from the James Anderson end. It's like, I could understand. That would really annoy me. Out of interest, Toby, if any ground in the country bar the Oval could name an end after you, what would it be? To the Toby Reynolds end.
This is tough. I quite like Trent Bridge because I feel like you've got to have a link to the place where you're getting named an end after, because you can't just be like, I wish you know Durham, because I've never been to Durham, never been near Durham.
But that'd be nice to tick it off that I'd have to go for the ceremony.
Exactly,
I think I don't like the worst end in English cricket is in Wales, weirdly. It's the Taff end.
I think that's
the worst end in cricket. I think, I'd quite... You know the end where we're probably going to sit tonight for the Yorkshire Vikings game? By opposite the City Ground. It's that where we were for the 2020 pre-season game.
Yes, yeah.
It's the media centre. It's got... Is it the Larwood end? Vos end?
Something like that.
Yeah. I think it's not memorable enough. Probably should be the Stuart Broad end. But when until that gets mentioned, it should be the T. Reynolds and or Dom Allen stand, depending on
the sticky wicket end.
The sticky wicket end would be nice, yeah. So, need to finish this off. James Anderson for me, Ollie Robinson for you. Australia losing the Ashes 3-2, was it? No.
I'm going to go 2-2, I
think. 2-2.
I think England, if there's no rain, I think England will win 3-2.
And who is going to be the biggest surprise of the summer? Or what is going to be the biggest surprise of the summer?
I think Matt Potts.
I don't think he gets enough time in the Ashes.
But that's my thing is, remember in the 10-11 Ashes, say, Jimmy gets injured early. Was it Jimmy or Broadley gets injured?
Yeah. Big size
and
strain.
Then Tremlett comes in and actually does Bresnan. Really well. Bresnan and Finn, they had a good number of seamers who actually all had a chance. So I'm thinking if someone gets injured early, Matty Potts could come in and be very good. Otherwise, I think... I'm more a prediction than a guess, I guess, is Jack Leach will, at some point, take figures of 5 for 100 and something, or 6 for 100 and something.
Has Jack Leach got a test 5 for yet?
I think he has, yeah. He's got a lot of forfers, I know.
Yeah.
Because he had 4 or 5 forfers in a row at one point.
That's why I'm asking, because I always feel he's gotten so close, but I can't remember a single one.
I'll have a look, but I think he...
Like I said, so anyone listening in the Portland building, if you are free tonight, go down to Trent Bridge as students for under the age of 21, getting for £7. It's against Yorkshire. Big derby. Technically, I'd say that's the biggest derby for Nottinghamshire. Derby and Leicester aren't big enough to count, and this is probably the next biggest county, I'd say. So do get along to that. Support local cricket, of course. The 100 coming up if you're here in August or wherever you are. Just go watch live cricket. All the Charlotte Edwards Trophy, of course, in the women's game. All the women's Ashes if you're here later in June. Toby?
Five fifers.
He's got 5 fifers.
And a 10-fer.
What? Oh, Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka and India and stuff, I assume.
Oh, yeah. I remember, he got a...
bowling average of 34 in Test match cricket. Not bad at all, actually.
Who would you rather have, him or the King of Spain?
King
of Spain, whose name I've forgotten. Do you remember the Daily Telegraph printed it instead of being the King of Spin? Ashley Giles.
Jack Leach all every day. Ashley Giles averaged 40 in Test.
But he held an end up, and he was part of the best team of all time.
But I think part of why he managed to hold an end up almost was the bowlers around him, probably.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
It's a tough one.
And when you've got the economical Hoggard, who's been ranked the greatest England bowler of all time.
Through statistics,
which you should know about, Toby. You're a salary man now. It's a very good start. Oh, I just miss Swanee so much.
What's your one prediction then?
My big surprise.
Yeah, big surprise.
Oh, I think we could see a fight at Headingley on
a
the
literal
pitch.
Fight. Oh my god.
I think we could see handbags. Even if it's just head to head, we will see some proper on the pitch fisticuffs. Not proper.
It'll probably end up being two players who play together in the IPL or something as well.
Yeah, there's going to be some. In the NFL.
Fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs implies there's an actual scrap. For this, I'm going to say there's going to be a moment where play is delayed for more than 3 minutes due to player arguments.
Okay. I don't know. Is that a combined 3 minutes or 3 minutes at one physical point?
One moment of three minutes. That's my...
Interesting.
Because I think...
I have another one as well. I think similarly, I think there'll be delay in play. However, I think it'll be just up oil.
Oh.
We'll take over.
Go on the pitch. Because that has happened before in the 70s against the West Indies. A protest came on the pitch and put petrol on the pitch to stop. Oh God, there was a murder trial, something was going on. And they just put petrol on the pitch, and obviously you can't play on petrol. It doesn't offer a lot of swing.
But it'll shine up one side of the ball, though.
It does shine up both sides of the ball. But yeah, just up oil. Or what was that lad's name who came on the pitch?
Oh, he's done that too many times, though. Yeah, Jarvo,
yeah, came against India. And at the Dolphins game against the Jaguars. Yeah.
That was he's done it all around, though.
Yeah. Yeah, just up all his predictions is a very good prediction. We will have an official Sticky Wickets Ashes podcast.
Hopefully with a few
guests.
Pundits on as well.
We'll see what we can do to get you guys, the humble listener, involved. Because I think a big sort of accumulation, best wickets, and we'll figure something out. That'll be on our socials, Toby. But we're both now free. We're both now free, no more dissertation. Blast tonight, you're looking forward to it?
I am, it should be a good game, hopefully. It's always nice to go back to cricket. I went to one of the county championship games for an afternoon session when I was back home at the Oval.
Nice.
But I think as much as that is so nice, it's a very different experience.
Yes.
To
yes.
a blast game. There's obviously 20 of us going or something as well, so it should be good crowds. Yeah. Have a few drinks before.
Well, it's a Sticky Wickets social... Well, how I'm going to phrase it. It's a Sticky Wickets meeting group. Now, we're taking this from the Aaron and Joe show. If you want to come meet the crew, the production crew, the stars of the show, Toby and myself... We will be at the Trent Bridge Inn from about 5 onwards.
4 onwards, I reckon.
Okay.
Well, I'm planning there from 4 onwards.
Okay.
Toby's there. You're best off getting there before 5.
Yeah.
If you want to, you know, if you
wanna
have a coherent conversation.
If you want to meet at the meet and greet, we'll sign anything. Mm-hmm. Should we bring pens to sign?
We'll bring some pens to sign.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I also think there might be a few Forest players at the game because they've just come back from London last night.
Probably
and last
will be, yeah.
year, they were... I met Joe Worrell and I was very happy and I got my sign.
Is he very tall by any chance?
He's very tall. He'd be a good player. I've actually seen him. There's a great clip of him bowling Samit Patel on the main. Yeah. They just got some stump, like plastic stumps out, and he's got good action. He does. He's quite similar to Brodie in that sense, a big, tall, and blonde, but with a very high arm. Samit Patel loves his Forest. One thing I was a little bit annoyed at, and this is showing a little bit of shade at Nottinghamshire for balance, because as much as I love the county cricket, if Forest are playing. And I'm going there, and you'll have a county game on. It's clear I've got a Forest scarf, my season ticket. Surely I think there should be a reduced price to go in just for a session.
I think this is what I think not so really silly about is at the Oval and many other grounds around the country, it's free entry for after tea.
Yeah, and there was a
county games. It's a £6 entry. And so I went in September with my housemates. I think I've talked about this before because it actually kind of annoyed me. We went in, bought a drink. I went and sat down, watched about 2 overs of play and they went off a bad light.
Yeah.
And we'd paid £25 between the 4 of us to go in, plus another £20 on drinks or something.
Yeah.
To not sit. And then we went and just left, went and sat in the Trent Bridge Inn and just had a few drinks there instead.
I do love Nottinghamshire, and to be fair they're the people who opened up the 5 day
exactly,
fifth day
which was genius, which is why it surprised me they don't do it in other formats.
There's a great clip, I'm not sure if you've seen it, of the Forest Arsenal game from the point of view from someone in Trent Bridge, and you can just hear Mull of Kintyre, and Brodie's got his arms out as if he's in the crowd. Brodie also went after, do you remember there was a really exciting Somerset game? And he went and they skittled them out, and Somerset should have won. He then runs over in full Notts gear and sits in the director's box at Forest.
I rate that
so much. Mm. What else? Oh, speaking of Stuart Broad, his comments about the Ashes series not counting in.
Yes.
What have you made of all this?
I quite like it. I think it's just Broadie trying to wind up the Aussies a little bit, and it obviously rattled Stark. Comments back. I think a lot of it is just bluster and Broadie trying to just chat and have a bit of fun and actually take some of the talk away from selection and the England squad and everything like this. So I think it has worked really well. Mm. I also kind of understand it. If anyone didn't hear what Broadie said, he basically said that the last Ashes in Australia didn't count because of COVID. And we obviously got battered 4-0 down under. And it doesn't count. And I kind of understand it in the way that the Aussies have never played any test matches under COVID like protocol because they've just basically said, no, we don't really fancy it.
Yeah.
We're not going to go travelling. And then they therefore get away without it and probably don't really understand
the difficulty.
Exactly, yeah.
And England put themselves, they, if anything, really put themselves out there. We're playing a COVID cricket against the West Indies, Pakistan, games against Ireland. There was everyone was out there to play, to support what was quite a tough time. Whereas the Australians didn't really go for the same vibes, did they?
They just didn't play any matches for a year. They hadn't played a test match for something like a year before those Ashes because they had refused to play during COVID.
Which is why we had a show the evening of the first test.
Yes.
And we built ourselves up to, we're going to win.
Exactly.
We're going to win.
And then Rory Burns, yes. Yeah. I still remember that. My phone got thrown across the room.
I said a very loud expletive word, which I almost said on air there. And I said this. I was a few moments behind everyone watching. My mate was watching downstairs and he heard me singing God Save the Queen. He then saw the first wicket. Silence. Oh! Yeah, and then he just went, and apparently he said it's the funniest moment of university. That was an awful Ashes series where we just collapsed.
It was horribly
bad.
That was tough.
But deflection, bit of pomp and circumstance about the Ashes. Do you think we'll see any more big comments coming from either team? Or do you
100%. Baz? There's still another 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, it is exciting.
I think Broad will keep going. You'll hear something from Warner most likely.
Yeah.
Probably want some of the seamers. Josh Hazlewood's always up for that kind of stuff.
Nathan Lyon, I think, might have.
I think
he might shut up though this year. Because obviously, think about 2019. Because he threw away that heading test match by himself.
There'll be some chat about that kind of thing. Mm. But then it will come back with all the 4-0 down.
The Barmy Army looked. Have you seen that advert with Stuart Broad and Marmite?
No.
I think Broadie is an actor, is fantastic. Yeah. And the actor who plays the lead from Marmite, essentially, does it really well as well. It's a great advert. Do look it up on YouTube. I love to see the Barmy Army getting deals now. The Barmy Army is going to be massive in a few, like this summer. I think it's going to be really huge. So best luck to anyone who's going to any test match. Hope you're not rain affected. And you've got tickets to day 1 and 5.
At the Oval, yes. That could be either
the greatest day,
the greatest 2 days to go to, or it could be the end of a 4-0 drum, the end of a 5-0 drumming or something. And then, that's good.
I think the joy of Test cricket is you never know what could happen because it is so long. It just goes on forever. Unlike a football game, you can make an educated guess.
Yeah.
With cricket, there are so many options. There's so many sort of T junctions. You can go left, you can go right, and the game is completely changed. I just think cricket's a great game to go to, and definitely try and support the Women's Ashes. If you couldn't get tickets for the Men's Ashes, if you're in Nottingham, go to the Women's Ashes. We promised a little game. We're going to see if we can name as many baseball teams. Now, we don't have our phones. I think what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to show how VAR should be used in football. We're going to challenge decisions.
A little TMO. Send
it upstairs. So, Toby, would you like to start?
Oakland A's.
The Oakland A's, the Oakland Athletics. Mm-hmm. Yes, someone has watched Moneyball.
I have.
I will go for the New York Yankees. Because nice. This is a good start, isn't it?
I'm going to go for the Cubs.
Of?
Chicago.
Yeah, good.
I know my stuff.
I will go for the Baltimore Orioles. Have you seen their mascot?
No, it's
an amazing mascot.
This is where, if you hadn't said that, I'd be like, challenge maybe. I don't know. I'm going to go Boston Red Sox.
I will go for the Miami Marlins.
That sounds so fake, but it's American. I'll go LA Dodgers.
Oh, that's a great shout. I will go for the LA Angels.
New York Jets?
I'm challenging that because that's an NFL team, I know that.
Is it? Oh,
you're thinking the Mets.
I'm dyslexic. Can I have a, for
the spirit of cricket, I think.
Let's pretend that was Stuart Broad playing the Aussies against
Schneegar. Yeah.
Schnick off Brad Haddon's pads.
Yeah, because it was clear you knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, close. Yeah. I feel like you have an advantage as well with your American sports.
I'm going to go for. Is it the Pirates? Yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Ooh, that's a great shout. That's the money ball as well because someone gets transferred, I think, to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
Oh,
is that Chris Pratt who gets? Obviously, no, not Chris Pratt in real life.
He plays, it's Chris Pratt's replacement.
Yeah.
Sorry, not replacement. The guy Chris Pratt replaces. Okay, now I'm starting to struggle. What other cities are there now around? There must be some Washington ones, maybe. or the Seattle.
Oh, is that
someone's or Texas,
Houston, Tennessee, Chicago.
Yeah. No, I am
Indy.
Struggling right now. I'm gonna go with the Houston Steelers.
The Houston Steelers. This should be interesting. I will look at the Houston team in baseball.
If this is right,
something's
this is
wrong.
The best. I'm just claiming the win. We're calling Sticky Wicket there. And
it's the Houston Astros. I do apologise. I say the Detroit Tigers to win the tie.
Easy.
I think I'd be quite interested to see what the BBC do about MLB UK, but I don't think it'll ever.
I think they've got to try and
cricket it.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to get a few. I think get people like Felix White and try and get a few more. Tail enders it a bit. Get Greg James on.
Yeah, I've seen MLB have got quite a few cricketers to be team ambassadors. So Izzy Wong.
Oh yeah.
Is representing someone. I can't remember. Harry Brooks has got a contract, which is all good money for cricketers, which we always want. But yeah, I think they are trying to cricketify it a little bit. I think it's going to be very, very hard to add to an already very saturated sport market. You think in the summer there's cricket going on, there are
tennis as well, Wimbledon.
There's still athletics. Obviously, they've got the market. Football's not quite there.
Football, you basically have, 2 months off without football.
Yeah.
And that's when everyone's trying to cram into.
And obviously, the 100 have really gone for that by putting their football in August.
As the Prem starts.
Yeah, as the Prem starts.
They know that they're going to outbeat the Prem in the next year, though, or two.
Imagine if it did. Any predictions for the 100 this year?
Back the boys, the Trent Rockets. I think they're on. Well, they've got third place, first place. They're on a good roll. They might not say win it, but I think, as with most franchise tournaments, winning it a little bit is just a bit of luck. Who you play, when you come into form. But I think Trent Rockets have a good squad and a good mentality.
It's very easy to be bad, I'd say. Like, there's always a team that get it horrifically wrong. London
probably
Spirit.
Welsh Fire again.
Yeah, Welsh Fire, London Spirit. You think back to the early days of the Big Bash. It was Sydney Thunder.
Yeah. Melbourne as well a little bit. Yeah. The Renegades, I want to say.
Yeah, well, now the Sixers. Better. The Sixers were awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very up and down, so it's quite hard to judge. But should be a very, very interesting summer of cricket. So much to talk about, and we will have a Sticky Wickets special with every test pretty much reviewed. We'll try and cover a bit of the Women's Ashes as well.
Definitely, yeah.
I know we haven't covered enough women's cricket over our 3 years at Nottingham. However, I'd say we've done our best. We've always made
an
effort.
More than many other podcasts.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Not as much as Tail Enders, but that's impossible. Exactly. They are fantastic ambassadors of the game.
Plus, they've got Tail Enders Tuesday, so they're always poached on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Should we Sticky Saturdays?
Sundays.
Sticky Sundays. Sticky Fridays.
Wicket Wednesdays.
Wicket Wednesdays! Now we're talking. That pretty much wraps up the show. Any other business, Toby?
No, well, we'll have another podcast, we say, maybe next week to detail the Ashes a bit more.
Yeah, I think we'll have some reels going out as well. I think it would be quite fun, especially around the Ashes, to have
some a few content. Posts and everything. Yeah.
And again, if you're listening live, the official Sticky Wickets meet and greet will be in the Trent Bridge Inn. Buy us a pint. Please don't spike it. That's just a general rule.
Depends what with.
Yeah, love and care.
Exactly.
Love and care.
Vodka.
Vodka as well. I tell you what I've got a big into, and I really want to bring this to the cricket. Limoncello. So limoncello, lemonade, ice, lots of ice and
that
fresh lemon
really
juice.
Good. That sounds like hooch.
It is just posh hooch.
Perfect.
And I had a pint of it with four shots in. I didn't realise it was alcoholic. I got up from the table, wobbling. What's your summer drink? What's your drink at the cricket?
It's got to be a cider.
Cider,
love
yes.
A cider. Old Moot, I absolutely love. Kiwi and lime flavour.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Would recommend for anyone out there. And if Old Moot are listening and want to have a sponsorship.
Oh, because I think Sticky Wickets will continue beyond our time at URN, and we then could acquire a sponsorship of some sort. So
always an option, yeah.
There's also a possibility of us playing an official Sticky Wickets game. That's all to be sorted out. But now we're both finished.
We'll just tease it a little bit.
We'll tease it. It'd be very fun if things can happen and we don't have to. We might make it a charity game. We might not be able to. But if you'd like to come down and support, we will tell everyone about it. It's not going to be on the radio. It's not going to be away days. It's going to be very much come.
Bit of a social.
We're going to have buckets of ice and cider and that sort of thing, where it's very much nice cold drinks. Exactly. Should be very fun and a nice way to end our time at University Radio Nottingham. Because Toby's going off to Imperial College London.
St Mary's.
St Mary's.
London, yes. And you're off to Trent.
And whether or not you're in, it's all down to the contract negotiations. My agents have been in contact with, you know, Trent, obviously it's a very difficult time. Got to look at the big money. You've got to think about the future. So it's all up in the air. But one thing is for sure, Sticky Wickets is going to continue. So the best cricket podcast University Radio Nottingham has ever produced. And I think once you love something, you let it fly.
Exactly.
You let it fly. So Toby and I are very much looking forward to having a full content summer. And if you do want to get involved, follow StickyWickets_URN. The TikTok might be coming back.
We'll try, yes.
Yeah, we'll try.
All right. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you all for listening.
And go well and...
Gold! go well, cheers.